Harper Audio presents Death on the Nile by Agatha Christie, performed by David Suchet.
Chapter 1. Lynette Ridgway! That's her! Said Mr. Burnaby, the landlord of the Three Crowns. He nudged his companion. The two men stared with round, bucolic eyes and slightly open mouths. A big scarlet Rolls-Royce had just stopped in front of the local post office. A girl jumped out. A girl without a hat and wearing a frock that looked, but only looked, simple. A girl with golden hair and straight autocratic features. A girl with a lovely shape. A girl such as was seldom seen in Malton Underwode. With a quick imperative step, she passed into the post office. That's her, said Mr. Burnaby again. And he went on in a low, awed voice. Millions she's got. Going to spend thousands on the place. Swimming pools there's going to be, and Italian gardens, and a ballroom, and half of the house pulled down and rebuilt. She'll bring money into the town, said his friend. He was a lean, seedy-looking man. His tone was envious and grudging. Mr. Burnaby agreed. Yes, it's a great thing for Malton Underwood. A great thing it is. Mr. Burnaby was complacent about it. Wake us all up proper, he added. Bit of a difference from Sir George, said the other. Ah, it was the horses did for him, said Mr. Burnaby indulgently. Never had no luck. What did he get for the place? Oh, a cool 60,000, so I've heard. The lean man whistled. Mr. Burnaby went on triumphantly. And they say she'll have spent another 60,000 before she's finished. Wicked, said the lean man. Where'd she get all that money from? Well, America, so I've heard. Her mother was the only daughter of one of those millionaire blokes. Quite like the pictures, isn't it? The girl came out of the post office and climbed into the car. As she drove off, the lean man followed her with his eyes. He muttered, It all seems wrong to me. Her looking like that. Money and looks. It's too much. If a girl's as rich as that, she's no right to be a good looker as well. And she is a good looker. Got everything that girl has. Doesn't seem fair.
Extract from the social column of the Daily Blag. Among those supping at Chez Martant, I noticed beautiful Lynette Ridgway. She was with the Honourable Joanna Southwood, Lord Windlesham and Mr. Toby Bryce. Miss Ridgway, as everyone knows, is the daughter of Meluish Ridgway, who married Anna Harts. She inherits from her grandfather, Leopold Harts, an immense fortune. The lovely Lynette is the sensation of the moment, and it is rumoured that an engagement may be announced shortly. Certainly Lord Windlesham seemed very épris. The Honourable Joanna Southwood said,
Oh, darling, I think it's going to be perfectly marvellous.
She was sitting in Lynette Ridgway's bedroom at Woad Hall. From the window, the eye passed over the gardens to open country with blue shadows of woodlands. It's rather perfect, isn't it? Said Lynette. She leaned her arms on the windowsill. Her face was eager, alive, dynamic. Beside her, Joanna Southwood seemed somehow a little dim. A tall, thin young woman of 27 with a long, clever face and freakishly plucked eyebrows.
And you've done so much in the time. Did you have lots of architects and things?
Three.
What are architects like? I don't think I've ever met any.
Well, they were all right. I found them rather unpractical sometimes.
Oh, darling, you soon put that right. You are the most practical creature.
Joanna picked up a string of pearls from the dressing table.
I suppose these are real, aren't they, Lynette?
Yes, of course.
I know it is of course to you, my sweet, but it wouldn't be to most people. Heavily cultured or even Woolworth. Darling, they really are incredible, so exquisitely matched. They must be worth the most fabulous sum.
Rather vulgar, you think?
No, not at all. Just pure beauty. What are they worth?
About 50,000.
What a lovely lot of money. Aren't you afraid of having them stolen?
No, I always wear them. And anyway, they're insured.
Oh, let me wear them till dinner time, will you, darling? It would give me such a thrill.
Lynette laughed.
Of course, if you like.
You know, Lynette, I really do envy you. You've simply got everything. Here you are at 20, your own mistress, with any amount of money, looks, superb health. You've even got brains. When are you 21?
Next June. I shall have a grand coming-of-age party in London.
And then, are you going to marry Charles Windlesham?
All the dreadful little gossip writers are getting so excited about it, and he really is frightfully devoted.